Good morning. It is good to see everybody here. If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Isaiah, the 9th chapter and the 6th verse. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. And when you get there, I'd like to ask you if you would to stand as I read from God's Word, please. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we're so thankful for the birth of your Son Jesus. And Lord, as we are approaching the Christmas day in the next few weeks, and as we celebrate with our family and friends, God, I pray that we will keep Jesus as the very center of the reason for Christmas. And not just the one day, but Father, every day of our lives, we will always remember and worship and celebrate the coming and the birth of Jesus. God, today as I speak this message, Lord, let everything come from your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. It's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Now, I want to point something out right off the bat this morning. Do you realize where this passage of Scripture has come from? It's in the Old Testament. It's in the book of Isaiah. And at the time that Isaiah had written this verse, he was under the influence of the Holy Spirit to write this scripture. Now, this happened 740 years before Jesus was ever born. So see, for God, time is nothing. And I find this amazing because I was trying to find an appropriate sermon as we're approaching Christmas time. And I always like to preach, you know, some good Christmas messages about the birth of Jesus. And this really stood out to me, that the prophet Isaiah is writing about something that happened 740 years later. Now, if you go into the Gospels and you look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Matthew and Luke are two of the books that talk about the birth of Jesus. When you look at the other two Gospels, they basically, in the first chapters, start with Jesus in his basically adult life and going on. But as you get into Luke chapter 1 and you start to read, the angel of the Lord came and appeared to Mary and started telling her that she was going to give birth to this child who would be the Son of God 740 years later. So see, God still works in mysterious ways. And even today, God works in the most of mysterious ways. And I always love the Christmas season because it is a time for giving. That's why Jesus came. Jesus came to give his life, to show us his love, to become a servant. And it's at this time of year that you and I, as Christian people, it's time that we give of ourselves, that we love others, and that we make ourselves servants. And I hope that we get the whole, I call it the meat and potatoes of the message this morning, that this is not just for one day of the year. It's not to be on the 25th of December or leading up a few days or a few weeks before that we do this for others. Jesus commanded us to be fishers of men. That means we are to be concerned and we're to be caring for the hearts and lives of every individual person that lives around us. That's why we have to be careful in our life, and we have to be a good witness, because we never know who is watching. And, you know, because if we say that we go to church, that we love the Lord, and we talk all these good things, but we're somewhere else, and a total stranger may have seen you before declaring your love for the Lord, and then they hear you saying and doing other things apart from God's word, I mean, it's going to make a negative impact. So how in the world do we put ourselves in place to love as Christ loved? Well, the thing we have to do, first of all, is we have to die to ourselves. You have to die to yourself, you have to die to the flesh, and you have to live by the Spirit, because we know that God desires us to live by the Spirit, to live by the fruits of the Spirit, and one of those is love. And I've had people ask me, how in the world am I supposed to love people who get on my last nerve? Well, that's a good question, because you know what? Me, even as a pastor, there's been times that people have gotten on my last nerve, and I've wanted to pinch their little head off, and I've had to shut my mouth, and I've had to walk away from situations, just like I had one the other night. I had a desperate need for Janine, and I called Walmart, and I got this young man on the phone. I said, this is what I'm looking for. Do you have it? Well, I think so. And I said, well, I don't go by think so. I said, I live a far way away from Walmart, and I don't want to drive there on a I think so, I've got it. I said, could you go look for me? And I was talking nice to him. I said, could you go look for me and see if you have this item in stock? Yeah, hold on, I'll be right back. He wasn't very nice. So he was gone for quite a few minutes, had me on hold. So he got back on the phone. He goes, yeah, we've got what you're looking for. So I got myself ready. I got back out in the cold, drove to Walmart. I go inside to the aisle where this young kid told me this item was located, and it was not there. Wasn't there at all. Well, that turned from, I was happy that he told me, but then when I got there and didn't find it, I wasn't too pleased. And by this point, the enemy is really working against me, and the Lord is saying, I want you to remember to be nice, because I have loved you through some of your bad times, so be nice. So in a moment like that, I had to listen to the voice of the Lord telling me. So I did. I showed some mercy and grace to that young man. I would have liked to have told him, but that's the human side, isn't it? That's the human side. So how do we love? We have to ask God to show us, give us the strength, give us the ability to love the unlovable. And it's not hard to do, because once we submit and surrender our heart and life to God, and we make the commitment to follow His Word, we find quickly that it doesn't take days or weeks for it to happen. When the love of the Lord comes inside of you, it changes you immediately. It's not a long, drawn-out process. The love of the Lord is powerful. And it is a force that can drive away any shadows of darkness, and it can make you love really the most unlovable person. I was standing in the store. That young man, by the way, came in the aisle the other night. I went and got him. I found out where he was, and I went and got him. I said, "You the one to talk to on the phone?" I told him what. I talked to you. All right, well, come over here. You said you had it. I need you to help me find it. And the whole time I stood there, I said, Lord, help me love him. Help me love him. Help me love him. I just kept repeating that. But in order for us to care and share, that's what the message is about today, caring and sharing. And in order for us to care, we have to have compassion for other people. See, God had compassion on us. God saw us in our sin. He knew there was no way out, so He showed His compassion. Now, God's compassion is way greater than any compassion that you or I could muster up. See, we have to understand that God is holy. God is righteous. God is amazing. And we in ourselves cannot operate as God does, but we have to submit to Him and we have to let God work within us. Because once we allow God to come in and work within our heart and life, then it's when we see and understand how the Lord loves others. And I do this. Lord, today, as I go out, help me to see people as You see them. Help me to see people, because see, Jesus sees us as redeemed through the blood of the Lamb. God sees the possibility in us, and God is a patient God, and so God expects us to love, to be compassionate, and to be patient with others as well. Now know this, every single one of us has a different personality. Isn't that amazing? We're all created equal. We're all created in God's likeness, and we are to love each other. But isn't it amazing? And it blows my mind to think about this. Every single one of us, we have different fingerprints. They're all different. We all have our own unique personality. Even with a set of identical twins, they look the same, they sound the same, but they're different. But everybody's got their own personality. Everybody was raised a certain way, and everybody's got their own set of beliefs, and that's true. But when we bring all of that under the submission and the authority of God, then that's when you and I are to be like-minded. That's when you and I are together, to join together in the fellowship and the love of the Lord and share that with those around us. So Jesus, He gave us His life. The disciples left their jobs, sold everything that they had, left their own families to go follow Jesus. And that's what Jesus wants us to do. Jesus wants us. Now, I'm not saying Jesus wants you to go and quit your job and sell your house and go. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying to you today is that God wants us to give up everything of ourselves and to rely on Him. And God wants us to take the message of the love of Jesus and share it with every person around us. Because when we become a witness, when we plant these seeds and we leave them in the Lord's care, we can see the love and the power of the Lord at work in people's lives. Psalms 23:6 says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." God's mercy is never just a feeling. It's expressed by His actions. See, that's where we get ourselves in trouble a lot of the time, is we go by feelings. I can't tell you how many times I've been in church and I've had people actually say this. "Well, I just don't feel the Holy Spirit there. Well, I just don't feel God moving in my life. Well, I don't this or that." What God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, they're not a feeling. A feeling is something that comes from up here in the mind. God works in the heart, and God moves by action. God doesn't do things by feeling. I'm not going to go there. Well, I'm just going to zip that one. Okay. But God's mercy, it's an action. If God extends mercy toward us, then don't you think God wants us to extend mercy toward others? There, now I'll tell you this story. This is a true story. It's a funny story in a way, but in another way, it's embarrassing for the person responsible. There's a music director was getting ready for church one morning, and everything that could go wrong was going wrong. And he was trying his best not to get aggravated. His wife was kind of being a little snippy, and he was trying to be compassionate. And he was hurrying to get to church. He had to get to church early because there was a big singing that morning, and he wanted to get there and have everything in order, ready to go. Got into his car, turned the key, and it wouldn't start. He come back in the house and threw the keys down, and boy, he's just, here come the complaining. And his wife said, "Well, what's the matter with you? Oh, that car of mine out there won't start, dead battery, I don't know. Started off a good day, and now look where it's going. It's all going south." And she said, "Well, honey, just take my car. It's in the garage. I know it starts and runs fine. Take my car, go on to church." And she said, "I'll call one of the other ladies, and I'll have her come get me and the kids, and we'll meet you later at church." And he says, "Fine, that's fine." So he took the keys to her car, got in, started that car up. He's driving through town, and he's racing. Man, he's trying to get to church because he's way behind now. And he gets up to a stoplight, and the light's red. So he stops, and he's going, "Huh, stoplight. Always got to have to get a red light. I'm in a hurry, got to get a red light." Well, behind him, he hears a person honking the horn. And he looks up and says, "It's a red light. What are they honking at me for?" And so he just sat there and thought, "Okay, just put it off out of your mind." And then the person started honking their horn again. And finally, he just blew up. And he got out of the car, slammed the door, and walked back and said, "Hey, what is your problem? Can you not see we have a red light? And you've been sitting back here honking your horn at me? What is wrong with you?" And the lady just leaned her head out the window and said, "I'm sorry, sir, but there was a bumper sticker that said, 'Honk if you love Jesus.'" So see, he let a circumstance overtake the compassion. And that's what can happen to us. Circumstances can happen in our life. There's going to be something go wrong. And I believe that's our moment of testing. That's when we need to say, "Okay, Lord, I shift out of me mode, and I'm shifting into you. I give you this situation because I don't know where it's going, but I trust you with it, Lord." Now Janine got some news last week or a few days ago from the dentist, and she came home very upset. Well, you know what? I got home, and then the devil's going out. See, the Lord ain't been hearing your prayers for nothing. Golly, you don't need to quit praying about. And I just said, "No, I am not listening to this voice today." So I sat down with my wife on the couch, and we sat and talked. And I ministered to her, and very lovingly. And I just put my arm around her, and I told her everything's going to be fine. I said, "God has this situation." And it wasn't just after a little while that we were laughing and rejoicing and fellowshipping. Now, if I had come up to her and said, "Now, would you quit being so whiny about this? Would you quit, you know?" Now, that wouldn't have changed the course of the situation at all. But God's compassion, God's mercy in my life, I have to extend that even to those who are unlovable, because you know what's going to happen? The more that we show mercy and compassion to other people, it will eventually change, not us change them, but God will change them, because it's going to cause that person to look at you and say, "You know what? There's been something missing right here in my heart for such a long time, and I want what they have. I want exactly what they've got operating in their life." And the more that we show love and compassion and mercy to people, even to telemarketers, I told Gene and Joy a story a while back. I kept getting a call from a telemarketer. Well, I didn't get mad over the situation. This is kind of how I handled it. Young lady called, and I was in my early 20s, and she read off this piece of paper, and she says, "Hey, is this Jim Cooper?" "Yeah." And she started telling me she was from Audubel Hearing Centers in West Frankfort, and she read off this paper. I could tell she was reading off a piece of paper. And finally, she said something to the fact of, or to the point of, "Could I interest you in making an appointment?" And I said, "Ma'am, could you speak up a little louder? I didn't quite catch what you said." Well, she read it all again to me. And I said, "Ma'am, you're going to have to speak up a little louder. I still didn't hear a word you said." And so the third time she started reading through that, and she said again, she said, "Now, would you like to schedule an appointment?" I said, "Ma'am, I don't know what in the world you're talking about, but," I said, "my chickens haven't been in your yard, and I wish you'd quit calling me." And she slammed that phone down. Now, see, now I wasn't hateful with her, but you know, she was aggravating me because she'd been calling quite a few days, and I thought, well, I'm going to put an end to this thing. So I just handled it humorously. And I got a big chuckle. I don't think she was chuckling too much, but anyway. Me and Gene and Joy had a good laugh over that one. Yeah. I think Janine laughed more over that than we did, though. But we have to express a real love for others. And how do we get that real love? It's only from Jesus. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 8 says, and this is the King James Version, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoice not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believe all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never fails, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity," basically love. Love. You can do everything to people, but if you don't have love, then what you're doing is a waste of time. Really, it is. It's a waste of time. If your heart's not in it, it's not going to profit your life a single thing. Now, I've asked God to put people in my path. When I was younger, I prayed this. I said, "Lord, help me love people. Help me to love people." And I said, "Lord, give me patience." That's why I used to pray. And all these situations started to happen. And I said one day, I said, "Lord, I don't know what you're doing, but I'm getting more trials and tribulations. I was asking for patience. That's what I've been asking for." And the Lord said, "And I'm trying to teach you patience through all of these events that you've been up against lately." Well, and as a pastor, I can't tell you how many times I've had to throw it in neutral and say, "God," because I tell you what, it ain't easy being a pastor. It's not. It's not for the faint-hearted at all. It's easy to preach. It's easy to be a traveling minister and preach, because I've heard traveling ministers tell me this. I've had them say, "Buddy, I'm glad you're the pastor, because I don't have to come back next week. I can preach whatever I want." I don't like that. I don't like the sound of that at all. Preach what I want. Don't have to come. I don't like that. I preach what the Lord puts on me, what's in my heart, and I ask Him to give the word from Him and not me, because I want God to minister to people. I want God to be heard. I don't want people to see and hear me. That's probably why I share so many messages, and I always throw love in there, because if we don't have love, we don't have anything. If we don't have love, our house ain't going to stand. Our church won't stand. See, that's how Jesus operates. So if we're going to care and if we're going to share, then we've got to submit and surrender. We've got to show mercy. And we have to walk in that perfect love of Jesus Christ. Now, your heart can be changed, but guess who has to want it to change? You. God's a patient God. He'll wait. He doesn't run out of patience like we do. You know, He don't get frustrated like we do. There's been times that in churches I served in, I wanted to knock some heads together and say, "Could you make a decision and not draw this out for 2 years? Come on." And I just had to say, "Lord, they're yours. I can't do this, because it's driving me batty." And the moment I give it to the Lord and I started being a little more compassionate with the people, I watched God start moving in mighty ways. And I watched God shift my attitude. So I have to learn. I have to learn to look at me. And I have to learn to change what's here before I go out and witness and minister to others. Because if this isn't right, I need to keep this shut. Really. That's what I have to do. I'm not saying that for anybody else. Because like my grandmother used to say, you better sweep your own doorstep before you go sweep your neighbor's. She said it's liable to do you a lot more good. Now, what is Christmas all about? Celebrating Jesus' birth. Sharing our faith. And blessing other people. You never know who God's going to put in your path. You never know what situation it's going to be. I'll share this little... This is a true story, a testimony as to what God can do. I was sitting one morning outside of a jewelry store. They just opened up. And this jewelry store would take your old gold, and they could melt them down, and they could make other pieces of jewelry. And it cost, you know, cost whatever. Well, I wanted to have a real pretty tie tack made. So I took some old, you know, a couple gold necklaces that had broken, and I couldn't fix them. And I was getting ready to get out of my truck, and I noticed a man sitting on a bicycle. He had an old hat on. He had these old what I call jersey knit gloves, trying to keep his hands warm, sitting on a bicycle. His clothes weren't the nicest clothing. And I thought, oh no, I've got a busy schedule this morning. Look what I've got to deal with. Oh boy. See, that's the human flesh. So I rolled down the window just a little bit. I said, "Can I help you, sir?" He goes, "Yeah, I wondered if you had any money." He said, "I need to get me something to eat, and I've had nothing." Well, the Christian here, the preacher here, lied and said, "No, I don't," because I wanted to get rid of him. I was hastily acting in the flesh. And I'm not proud of that. Now, God's forgiven me, because that was many years ago. I was young and stupid. But I turned around, and I'm still trying to dig for something else I needed before I went in there. And boy, my conscience started to work on me. It was the Holy Spirit. And I turned back around, and he was still sitting there. And I opened the door. I said, "Sir, I'm sorry. I lied to you. I feel terrible. I took my wallet out. I said, this $5, that's all I have in cash. That's all I've got. I said, you know, God bless you. And I handed it to him. And he said, no, sir. God bless you. And I kid you not, I wasn't seeing things, and this wasn't imagined, but I literally saw this man almost light up, light up in appearance. There was something really different about him. And he turned his bike around, and I closed my door. And about that time, I thought, you know what? Take him. I was thinking, take him, because I hate, you know, by that time your bank had a debit card. I'm like, go take him and go buy him something good for dinner and let him have it. Well, when I turned around and looked, he was gone. He was, and there was a lot of traffic there on North Carbon Street in Marion. And I was right across from Hardee's. And there was no way he could have got across that traffic that fast on that old bike. I got out of my truck and I walked around. Look, he wasn't in the shopping center parking lot. The movie theater was still standing there at the time, the old building. He wasn't there. He wasn't across the street. He wasn't nowhere. He was nowhere to be found. And I can't remember now, it was about a week or so went by. I've been praying for a need to be met. And the church secretary called me. And she said, hey, Jim, can you come to the church? She said, this is weird. She said, I left for lunch and the door to my office was locked. And the door to the church was locked. She said, I always double check it. She said, I come back here in the office and she said, there's an envelope laying here with your name on it. I don't know how it got there. I didn't see or witness it. And in that envelope was $500. And that's exactly what I needed for that debt to be met, for that thing to be paid. So, and that's the truth. That happened. And God is still in the miracle working business today. But He wants us to have love and compassion for others.